It's good to have everybody here this evening, and hopefully the smell won't start coming in too quick so that everybody starts to stampede for the door. I picked this lesson out just because of the reason that we're here this evening. Of course, we're here to worship God, to praise God, and etc. But some are here mainly because we're going to honor our graduating seniors, and we're mighty proud of them. And so I picked out this lesson kind of to apply to them. It's an awfully big challenge to grow up in today's age. I look back, Grady on Friday, and the rest of these are going to be graduating on Friday evening. I graduated, it's hard to believe, 41 years ago. But it's even harder to believe. Judy Titsworth told me that she graduated 51 years ago. So I was glad to be able to say that. And I was thinking, your daddy must have graduated somewhere around 75, 76 years ago. Well, in that case, he graduated longer ago than that. So, but you know, it's harder nowadays to grow up. There's so many things that compete for an individual's attention, not just children and teens, but even us adults. You know, I can remember a question that was often asked to me before I graduated. Well, what are you going to do? And you can nod your head if this has ever been asked of you. What are you going to do when you grow up? Yeah, we've all been asked that question. Are you going to school? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? We all have big decisions that need to be made. You know, I can remember another one while I was still in school. When you grow up and get out in the real world, things are going to be different. Well, when I was in school, if this wasn't the real world, I don't know what was. You know, if you think about it, it really is. It's a different type of the real world, but it's the same thing. It's also kind of strange, and maybe y'all have heard this before, that it seems like things were a whole lot tougher years ago. Now, I've never used the illustration before, but I have heard it. Not from my folks, but from other people. Oh, I remember when I was going to school, I had to walk 5 miles to school, uphill both ways, in snow and hail and dark of night. It was just pitiful. You kids today have it so much easier than we did. Having said all that, you know, it's difficult for us to imagine what Jesus must have been like when he was a child, when he was a young person. You know, the Bible tells us an awful lot about the 3 years of his ministry. Gives us a little bit about his very young age when he was an infant and a little bit older. But we don't know a whole lot about Jesus when he was growing up. You know, reckon he went through, and all of us parents have heard about it. Do you reckon Jesus went through the terrible twos? I don't know that he did if he was perfect. I can't imagine, this is something that's always puzzled me, can't imagine being one of Jesus' brothers or sisters. Because there were times that I would get in trouble, and every once in a while my mother would believe me when I told her it wasn't my fault, it was my sister's. Well, you couldn't say that about Jesus because it was never his fault. So it would have been tough to have grown up maybe in a house with Jesus. You know, we know a little bit about his young age. In Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52, we've got the story of him and his family, his mother and his stepfather, Joseph, as they went to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. There are lessons in this for not only young people and children, but also for us older folks and parents. First, Jesus was about his father's business. Jesus grew up in a little bitty town, and I know that probably when you were growing up, McMinnville was a little bitty town, but it probably wasn't as small as Nazareth. Scholars tell us that there might have been upwards of 200 people in Nazareth when Jesus was growing up. Now, it had farmlands around it, so there were probably more people in the area that came into town to shop at the market on a regular basis. It wasn't just those 200 or 300 people. But it was bigger than a wide spot in the road, let's put it that way. He probably spent an awful lot of time in his stepfather's carpenter shop, learning and all sorts of things. Luke said, he grew and became strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now the three words that Luke uses here in this passage, it says that Jesus grew in strength, in spirit, and in wisdom. And we need to look at all of them together, all three of those words. It's not enough just to grow in one or two. We've got to grow in all three of them. You know, so often we want our children to grow up nice and strong and get a good education. And Jesus did. He grew up in wisdom and also in strength. But he also grew in spirit. And we need to make sure that our children get a spiritual education. Also, it says that Jesus grew up and his Father was pleased with him in the way that he grew. Now, that's just the introduction to this passage. Most of this passage has to do with Jesus going to Jerusalem with his stepfather and with his mother. We know a little bit about that story. Really, all we kind of know, though, is the tail end of it. They'd been, they had worshipped, they were on their way back home. Mary and Joseph were traveling in a group of people. Jesus was the oldest child in the family, so probably he had a little bit of extra freedom that his younger brothers and sisters didn't have. And when it came time for them to stop, it would have taken about 4 days to walk down there and to walk back. When it came time for them to bed down for the night, they started looking for Jesus and they couldn't find him. Well, like any parents, they kind of panicked. They started looking for it, for him. From what I understand, the way that we look at the text, it took them about 3 days to finally find Jesus. Now think about that for just a second. Here you got a 12-year-old boy. Maybe it was a better world back then than it is today. But you couldn't find your son for 3 days. Imagine the panic that they were on the verge of. They got back to Jerusalem. They looked all over the city and finally they found him at the temple. It says there in that passage that he was sitting amongst the rabbis, the teachers, the men of the law, and it says that he was both listening to them and asking them questions. You know, the fact that this surprised Mary and Joseph shows us that Jesus was not a terribly uncommon child. I doubt he spent all of his time studying his Father's Word. They were a little bit surprised that this is exactly where they found him. You know, he probably acted an awful lot like any other 12-year-old would have. Those who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. You know, and Mary took this to heart when she found out about it. She said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And you know, maybe that word anxiously is a little bit understated. Like I said, I imagine they were on the verge of panic trying to find him. She took this and she digested it and she realized that although Joseph is mentioned as Jesus' earthly father, she knew that he had another father, his Father in heaven. And she realized that Jesus had a timeline that he had to keep. And even though he was just 12 years old, just on the verge of teenagehood, that he had things that he needed to do. Jesus responded to her concerns with one of the great statements in the Bible. "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus wasn't just an ordinary child. He was God on earth. He was God incarnate. And he had a timetable to follow, the timetable that his Father had set in place for him. Even though he was just a boy, just 12 years old, he knew that eventually something was going to happen to him. How much he knew, we just don't know right now. But he knew that he had big things in store for him later in his life. Something that we need to learn from this is, wouldn't it be marvelous if we could teach our young people, our children, our teenagers, and even we adults, that we need to be about our Father's business? You know, so much of what we do in life has to do with business, but it doesn't have anything to do with our Father's business. We go about making money, and we spend time recreating, and we spend time visiting with people, and we have errands to run. But these things don't have anything to do with our Father's business. We need to remember that. Jesus knew that he had to do his Father's business, and he placed a priority on it, even when he was just 12 years old. Next, he was subject to his parents. And it's kind of an interesting statement if you think about it, and you go a little bit deeper. If anybody in the history of the world, we figure, didn't really need to submit to his parents, it would have been Jesus. Jesus already knew and understood more truths than his parents ever would. Jesus was already perfect, and no one else would ever be. He knew all of this, and yet he was willing to go and submit himself to his parents and to be subject to them. You know, all of us, children, adults, and whatever, if our parents are still living, ought to understand the importance of submitting to our parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." We need to understand, though, that even our parents can't tell us to disobey God. We need to make sure, unless we're very young and are still well under their household roof, that we do need to obey them. But they ought not, and I don't imagine any of the parents that are here are going to ask their children to disobey God. But it is our obligation as parents, Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 6, to bring them, our children, up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, it's interesting in that this teaches us so much about God. If we're not willing to submit to our parents, then chances are we're going to have trouble submitting to our heavenly parent or our heavenly Father in heaven. Finally, lessons for all of us. At the very tail end of this text, it says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with men." Now remember, this is God with us. This is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it says here in this passage that his body grew and his mind grew, and the people around him respected him. He grew in favor with men. And that he was pleasing to his Father. He grew in favor with his Father. Now I've heard people over and over again say, "Well, you know, I'm better than old so-and-so." We talked this morning about husbands and wives. "I'm a better husband than old so-and-so. Ricky's not here. I'll pick on Ricky. I got a smile out of Nicole." You know, or "I'm a better child than old so-and-so." Or "I'm a better father than old so-and-so." Or "I'm a better person than old so-and-so." Jesus is the ultimate measuring device. If we're going to measure ourselves, we need to hold ourselves up to the yardstick that is Jesus Christ. Our young people today are stronger and are more intelligent, have more knowledge than anybody in the history of the world, this time of history. But are they growing spiritually like they ought to? Are you feeding just your body and your mind, or are you feeding your spirit? It's so important for us to make sure that we live a balanced life, so that we will be able to not only grow physically and mentally and emotionally, but that we will also grow spiritually. Everyone needs to have a balanced life if it's going to be the sort of life that God will bless us with, and so that it will give us the abundant life that God promises. Jesus grew in every way. We need to remember that we need to grow in every way. We need to make sure that we're balanced. And if we do happen to get unbalanced, let's be unbalanced toward God and His Word and growing in spirit. If you need to respond to the invitation this evening, I cut it a little bit shorter this evening because of the celebration that we have. But this has been directed to children, and we're all children. If you're not a child of God, then you need to be a child of God. You need to submit to Him, each and every one of us. And if there's part of your life as a Christian that you've never submitted or sacrificed to Him, then maybe now is the time that you dedicate yourself to doing what you know to be right. Don't jeopardize your eternal soul. Come and make the recommitment. Or if you need to be baptized so your sins are washed away, won't you come now while we stand and sing?